Hello and welcome to the fourth episode of This Week in IPL. I'm your host Aditya, and along with me this time, I only have Meenal joining us from Dubai.
Hey Aditya, and hello everybody.
So, we're back after a two-week break, and yes, a lot has happened in IPL. Huh? The last time we spoke about IPL, it was all about how good it has been and how it has given exposure to so much talent in India and how business models are coming up through IPL. Now, it's a different case, isn't it?
It's totally, Aditya. I mean, for the last 1 week, I think all news have been kept aside and all news channels and print is only caring about how big this scandal is turning out to be. Honestly, I'm a little confused because BCCI is boycotting it. They are submitting papers to income tax. Suddenly, there are IT raids. IPL has not just come up. It's been there for 3 years now. So why was everybody suddenly, you know, awakening to the fact that okay, something could be wrong?
It all started with just one Twitter message from Lalit Modi himself.
Yeah, exactly. Really, I mean, I think first of all, everybody should be very careful. You know, it's a big social media is huge today and we want to advertise ourselves and publicize ourselves. But to what extent? I think Lalit Modi is just facing the brunt for one mistake of his.
Correct. And then now it has already claimed a minister of state. Yes. And God knows who else has been involved. I mean, we all knew that there's a lot of money involved in IPL. Yes. But we didn't know that it was so much, you know, quote-unquote, dirty money or unaccounted money that was involved in this, in the sport.
Exactly. I mean, now match-fixing scandals are coming up and, you know, I kind of think they're revisiting 2000, what happened with national cricket. And it's scary to some extent. But to be very honest, I think the worst thing that will happen is IPL may not go into the fourth season. But international cricket shouldn't be affected because, again, you know, a lot of people confuse IPL with international cricket, with ODI and test cricket, and it's not.
Isn't it international cricket, though? It may not be test, but there are 48, how many? There are about, 4 into 8 teams. 32 top foreign players, okay? It is not just any foreign player. You know, given that a few of them are retired and all those things, but still, top players. You know, I would sort of disagree and say that it is an international tournament because of this reason.
Yeah, but do you really think this is going to roll over into tests and one dayers and we are going to go to that phase of 2000 again? That bans will be put on players and I don't fathom that kind of thing will happen. I think the ICC will step in probably.
You think so?
Yeah, I think they might. I don't think it should boil over to test cricket and ODI cricket. I mean, these guys shouldn't be banned from playing test cricket and ODI cricket. I mean, if the franchises are involved and if these players are not that involved, then I don't know. I mean, I'm a little confused about how this whole thing is going to blow up.
Correct. I mean, so far it hasn't been that a player... It hasn't come out that a player is involved in any of these things. It has been the business side of IPL that has been in trouble. Okay. And I knew that this was going to happen, but I didn't expect it to happen in the third year itself. Because, you know, we spoke about how the game has been commercialized. So it was bound to happen.
Exactly.
Okay. So the greed...
Yeah, I mean, if we deny that betting exists, I think we're living in a utopian world, honestly, because all of us know it happens, and it happens somewhere.
Take Major League Baseball, right? It started out, and then slowly drug crept into it, and then there were also match-fixing allegations there about throwing, about underperforming, not really match-fixing, but underperforming.
Underperforming, very true.
So it was just a matter of time before drugs came into IPL. Now I'm... So...
Don't bring that angle in. I mean, if that is the case now, then that's another, it's going to uproot another, open another Pandora's box.
Yeah, I know. Let's see. So.
I know, let's see. Let's keep our fingers crossed and we just hope. I just don't want this thing to roll over into international cricket because I felt after the 2000 scandals and all the players who were involved came out in the open, a lot of teams have come up a long way and cricket has come back, you know, especially test cricket has become so famous now and so we're getting such good results.
Exactly.
I just don't want that phase. I know a lot of fans who turned away from the game because of that scandal.
Because the last time it happened, it ended up with Bob Woolmer being found dead under suspicious conditions.
Exactly. We don't want, as fans, I don't want to see all this. The problem is, Aditya, we, I feel, don't leave this game just as a game, you know, and we commercialize it, we get together, we land up ruining. Just leave it as a game.
Now, who
I
do you
feel
mean
game,
when you say we?
We. I mean, all of us, you know, we fans want to see something bigger, and so the owners will throw something at us, and you'll have a Lalit Modi marketing the game, and then, you know, obviously people will start seeing their own selfish interests. So I'm not saying that I feel what is wrong in commercialization, but we need to draw a line somewhere, and we just need to leave it at it being a sport, you know, and not to make every avenue as a revenue-making thing. So I don't know.
You know what? I'm just worried about this topic taking over cricket and taking over this week in IPL itself. So let's not talk a lot about it and let's move ahead.
No, let's not.
In the second episode that we discussed, Chennai Super Kings was the second last team on the league table. And now it finds itself as one of the semi-finalists. And now we know that they made it through. And Mumbai is going to play Chennai Super Kings tomorrow.
And I think Mumbai was expected with the way they were doing so well. Chennai Super Kings was a good surprise, honestly. Do you think the Deccan Chargers lost their steam because they needed to win 5 out of 5 to make it to the semis, and they did that. But somehow in the semis, they just fell flat. I felt they didn't put up a fight at all.
It happens. See, I mean, the law of averages was due to kick in sometime.
Yeah.
I mean, how long are you going to sustain keeping on winning? But the way that they lost it wasn't even a fight. What they scored about 110, I think. They went down for
110. It's not a Chennai Super Kings has scored 180, where you succumb to pressure. It was 142, which is like a very gettable score in a T20. And with the kind of lineup that Deccan Chargers had, it was disappointing, honestly. Semi-finals were quite a letdown, to be very honest, because neither did RCB put up a fight.
We must also mention that the semi-finals got moved to Mumbai at the very last moment because of those minor blasts that happened in Bangalore. And you know, that move also was surrounded by speculations that the betting mafia was involved in getting it to Mumbai.
the kind of theories that crop up, you know, I mean, people are probably just taking care that maybe the foreign players might be disturbed by the whole incident and, you know, try to put them in a safer place, closer to where the security is better in Bombay. And people come up with theories of betting here also.
But then, look at the pitch, right? I mean, having back-to-back semi-finals on the same pitch, how wise a decision was that? Couldn't they have just roped in one of the other grounds as well and just have one match?
Exactly. I felt the same thing. Why Bombay? You could have, you know, moved it to Delhi or maybe to Chennai. You know, there are lovely grounds there as well. So you could have just taken them to any other city. I felt the same thing. Yeah. Maybe the second semi-final suffered because of that.
Right. And it was also sort of unfair because Mumbai was, you know, practically playing at home. For that matter.
Correct.
So, they could have easily gone to Delhi or even Nagpur or somewhere else. But overall, fine, you know, Sachin also couldn't do a lot in the semi-finals. But it was good to see Saurav Tiwari once again helping Mumbai out.
He's a talented bloke.
And he didn't get any credit for what he did. You know, because all the limelight was hogged by Pollard later on. I mean, nobody in the newspaper even spoke about him. And he was the one who scored all those runs. He was the one who set up the platform for this Pollard guy to go crazy, right?
Go crazy, exactly. I mean, Pollard has really paid off, isn't it, that investment for Mumbai?
Oh, yeah. I mean, see, overall, he has played around not more than five overs. Because every innings that you see, he has played 9 balls, 8 balls, 12 balls, here and there. But he has been scoring 20, 30, those valuable runs that matter the most.
I was just going through the stats last week and I realized the guy has a strike rate of 180. He's like in the top 4 among the strike rates and he's going berserk. I mean, 5 over 77 runs was a bit too much. When I was watching the innings, I'm like, I was telling my husband, I said, boss, these guys are not even getting to 150 at the rate they're going right now. Because at one point, Tiwari and Raidu were struggling to strike the ball again. Suddenly, you come and see Bombay's got 180 runs and this guy, huge, 6 feet, 7 feet, God knows how many feet, he just come and blasted. I think he dents your confidence.
It's not just the 6 that he hits, But it's the ease with which he hits it. You know, it did. I mean, I'm pretty sure it affects the bowler in some way.
And seeing him, you know, other than seeing the World Cup starts on 30th April, I am just praying this guy doesn't click against Bhaji and Chawla. You know, we are going to be so in trouble. Seriously.
Right
now, I'm cheering him, and now I'm like thinking, God, we might just be having nightmares of this guy in T20 World Cup. Could actually take West Indies somewhere in this World Cup, you know, the way he has performed here.
Correct. And let's see what happens. That's about in a month's time from now, isn't it? So everybody is going to be...
Yeah, in a month. The 30th it starts, it will go on for another 2-3 weeks, I believe. And we should know what's happening.
Sehwag is out of that tournament, by the way. He came up with a shoulder injury.
Murli is coming, so
yes.
I'm actually a bit happy.
<That's>, okay. Let's see if it works out. Okay, at the end of it, we can only... Saying all these things works only in hindsight because you never know what will happen.
Seriously.
And unfortunately, Sachin is still a question mark whether he's going to play in the finals or not. He has split his webbing, the fourth and fifth finger on the left-hand side. So let's see whether he's going to be there. Will that matter anyway?
Of course. I mean, Sachin, I think if Sachin comes and doesn't bat, I think Mumbai Indians will be happy to play him simply because the guy has a huge psychological effect on the youngsters. The way he is, and I just happened to go for a Harsha Bogle event 3 days back, and he mentioned something wonderful. He said, the guy is restless when there is no cricket around him. If he's not playing, he's restless. So they would watch him on the field, and he is absolutely one among the boys. He doesn't carry any air about himself. And these guys look up to him, and they're in complete awe. So even if it's he just goes and stands on the field, I think it will be great for Mumbai Indians.
Right.
They need him. Let him play. Let him bat at number 11, but he has to be there.
Now, not only the team, but the advertisers also need him now.
Okay, exactly. So. And opponents also. The fact that Tendulkar is going to come in to bat is killing for the bowler. Yeah, you prefer he's there, out there, facing you, rather than, you know, you're in anticipation. Oh my God, next batsman to come in is Tendulkar. I think that is more worrisome for the bowler. So.
Who's going to be the key factor in the finals that are going to happen tomorrow? Sachin is obviously one. Okay.
Obviously one. I think Dhoni and Raina should matter. Dhoni especially at the end overs, because he is coming back. You know, the two sixes he hit against Kings XI.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, people were screaming on my Facebook that, okay, 2005-2006, Dhoni is back. So, yeah, I think Dhoni might just make the key difference.
What about Bollinger? Bollinger went crazy.
Dude, yeah.
He took about four wickets. So, he's going to matter. Harbhajan Singh, after the semi-finals, he grabbed the most costliest ass in India. When
he did,
right? He just grabbed her and he just lifted her up. And
I was shocked. I'm like, nobody must have done it ever in the not even dare to go near, and this guy goes berserk. I mean,
and only he can probably get away with by doing that. You know, he's going to be
totally.
You know, it's expected out of him, and plus it's Harbhajan, so it's expected here.
Exactly. I think when Neeta Ambani was like totally taken aback, she didn't know how to react either. It was just too funny a image too.
But it's good, you know. But it's good when you have that sort of chemistry going on between the player and the owner. It's good to watch.
She's been with them. Yeah, she's been in the dugout. She's been cheering them on for every match. I think it is quite a sweet gesture. Nothing wrong. Yeah.
Right, and you know, I may be sounding as a Mumbai Indians fan, but when you look at her getting involved and you know sitting next to Robin Singh and all, it just seems that she's not doing it for the business reason. She's doing it to have fun. She's there,
fun, exactly.
Available, but it was fun to see.
I think it was definitely fun. But other than what I feel is the bowlers will be the key. The, you know, both sides batting might get to 180, 170, whatever. But I think it's the bowling this time which is going to make the key, because these are two good sides with very good bowling attacks. And the bowlers have been bailing them out time and again.
No, correct. And the other thing is that it's just one match now. The past record doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many points you had at the beginning on the table before the knockout things. It's just one match. This is all that you have. So, you know, whatever, how much ever we say who is going to matter, who is not, for all we know, Harbhajan Singh will come out with his bat and hit those 40 runs and win it with his bat. Yeah. So, it is just so difficult to call it.
No, you can't predict T20, honestly. I mean, I'm trying and, you know, I've been watching cricket for ages and, you know, in test matches and ODIs, you know exactly if you've been following the series, you know, who's going to play or probably you have that, you develop that insight. But I think with T20, it's very difficult because the game changes so fast out there. You never really know. Flipping finals.
It definitely will be. The stadium is completely sold out.
Yeah.
No tickets available whatsoever. I tried to pull a few strings here and there to get it.
Didn't work out.
But nothing at all. Nothing at all. Who else? What's going to happen for the closing ceremony? Modi tweeted about a couple of hours back that A.R. Rahman is going to be, you know, conducting the closing ceremony. Lata Mangeshkar is going to...
Yeah, and you tweeted that even Priyanka Chopra is, I think, rehearsing, you know, you tweeted...
Correct. Even she is going to be there. Even she is going to be there.
Yeah, so all the glitz and glamour is going to be there. It's Bombay and it's Bollywood and it's IPL, so it's expected, right?
So if you watch the match, it gets really awkward for whenever... awkward for the commentators whenever Lalit Modi comes on screen. They just have no idea what to say about him. And
no, they just landed saying, and that is Lalit Modi.
Exactly.
Like, I didn't know. Thank you so much.
Right. Or after that, oh, that's the MRF blimp there or something like that. They just make a random comment.
I think if you go to the tape, the MRF blimp has been the most spoken about thing in this tournament.
Right, and that is embedded ads in there, right? In the content. It's like it's like Google. Because they don't break into ads thing there. They talk about the MRF Space Academy and all these things.
Exactly. So it's good. It's worked well for MRF when people cannot speak about Lalit Modi and the, you know, IPL franchise owners. I guess somebody wins, you know, at the end of the day. Because this time it's MRF.
Oh, man. So tell us what happened at the IPL Awards. IPL Awards is something that happened.
I didn't catch it live. I was trying to, you know, being in Dubai, we don't get too many telecasts. It's not, most of them are late telecasts. But I know there were jury awards and there were viewer choice awards. Now, in the jury awards, I just found this award very, I don't know how the people picked it. Most dramatic performance by Harbhajan Singh. Dramatic performance. I mean, am I judging cricket or am I judging some play or TV or film? I mean, Harbhajan is obviously a sure shot winner when it comes to drama, but I have no clue on what they based this award.
Also, I believe there was an award for best commentator and an award for all-time favorite, which went to Kapil Dev.
Yeah, all-time favorite person I would want in my IPL team. I think the IPL captain voted for it. That's what I read. So, very confusing.
Very confusing. Nobody knows. Yeah, the highly transparent organization of IPL, it continues into the award session as well.
Exactly. But do you know Ravi Shastri won the best commentator award?
Oh, did he? Now, is that fair,
yes.
Ravi Shastri? He's part of the IPL council or advisory or some committee, isn't he?
Yeah, I believe now they are going to get some 3-4 people, to run this, inquiry and then probably they might come on board. It's total hot. I don't know what they're planning. BCCI has just shaken their hands off. You know, we don't want to be involved. So I don't know. As I told, it's very confusing.
It is confusing. And you know, it is cricketers involved. It is cricket administrators, politicians' daughter, Patel's daughter has come in. Then you have, you know, the likes of the team owners' ka daughters are also involved in this whole thing. Fascinating stuff,
so
I think.
Fascinating. I think by Monday it's going to be, I think some strings should be revealed or pulled out or whatever and it should come out. Let's see what, I hope it's not as worse as we think it could be.
Well, with that, let's see what happens tomorrow. And we'll
catch up after that to take a review of the final.
Of the final and the whole tournament. I think we'll do a best of
tournament.
Top 5 moments or something like that. Let's see what, you know,
we'll do that.
Yeah, Ayaz will also be probably joining us in for that. So let's see. It'll help to have an expert with us.
Very much.
Okay, so that's about it. If you have any comments on whatever we have said, please do log on to www.theindicast.com and leave us a comment. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter. I am at AC Mahatre and Meenal is at
Granger Gap Blog.
Yes, so.
Yeah, it's a long one. I was not getting a short ID.
Well, Meenal wasn't available?
I didn't want to because I mostly write it on my blog, so I wanted, you know, people to know that this is my blog name.
Oh, that's true. You know, blog as well. So what's yes, your... We have never given out your blog address, have we?
Yeah, it's grangagab.blogspot.com.
Yes, and she writes well. You know, I followed her before Thanks. Getting her on the show. I followed her writing and all those things, sort of khufiyapanti types.
Yeah, to make sure, I know a girl is talking on cricket. Let me just be extra careful.
Right, exactly. Oh, well. So, that's about it, guys. Bye-bye and see you next time.
Okay, thank you, Aditya. Bye, everybody. See you. Bye.